Oh, for that warning voice which he who saw the apocalypse heard cry in heaven aloud. Then when the dragon, put to second rout, came furious down to be revenged on men. Woe to the inhabitants on earth! But now, while time was, our first parents had been warned the coming of their secret foe, and scaped, haply so scaped his mortal snare. For now Satan, now first inflamed with rage, came down, the tempter, ere the accuser of mankind, to wreak on innocent, frail man his loss of that first battle and his flight to hell. Yet not rejoicing in his speed, though bold, far off and fearless, nor with cause to boast, begins his dire attempt, which neither birth nor rolling, boils in his tumultuous breast, and like a devilish engine, back recoils upon himself. Horror and doubt distract his troubled thoughts, and from the bottom stir the hell within him. For within him hell he brings, and round about him, nor from hell one step no more than from himself can fly by change of place. Now conscience wakes despair that slumbered, wakes the bitter memory of what he was, what is, and what must be worse. Of worse deeds, worse sufferings must ensue. Sometimes towards evening, which now in his view lay pleasant, his bleak look he fixes sad. Sometimes towards heaven and the full blazing sun, which now sat high in his meridian tower. Then much revolving thus in sighs began. O thou that with surpassing glory crowned look'st from thy sole dominion like the god of this new world, at whose sight all the stars hide their diminished heads, to thee I call, but with no friendly voice, and at thy name, O sun, to tell thee how I hate thy beams that bring to my remembrance from what state I fell, how glorious once above thy sphere, till pride and worse ambition threw me down, warring in heaven against heaven's matchless king. Ah, wherefore, he deserved no such return from me, whom he created what I was in that bright eminence, and with his good upbraided none, nor was his service hard. What could be less than to afford him praise, the easiest recompense, and pay him thanks, how due? Yet all his good proved ill in me, and wrought but malice, lifted up so high by stained subjection, I thought one step higher would set me highest, and in a moment quit the debt immense of endless gratitude, so burdensome, still paying, still woe. Forgetful what from him I still received, understood not that a grateful mind by owing owes not, but still pays at once, indebted and discharged. What burden then? Oh, had his powerful destiny ordained me some inferior angel, I had stood then happy. No unbounded hope had raised ambition. Yet why not? Some other power as great might have aspired, and me, though mean, drawn to his part. Other powers as great fell not, but stand unshaken from within or from without, to all temptations armed. Hadst thou the same free will and power to stand? Thou hadst! Whom hast thou then, or what, to accuse, but heaven's free love dealt equally to all? Be then his love accursed, since love or hate to me alike it deals eternal woe. Nay, cursed be thou, since against his thy will chose freely what it now so justly rules. Me, miserable, which way shall I fly, infinite wrath and infinite despair? Which way I fly is hell, myself am hell, and in the lowest deep, lower deep, still threatening to devour me, opens wide, to which the hell I suffer seems a heaven. Oh, then at last relent! Is there no place left for repentance, none for pardon left? None left but by submission. That word, disdain, forbids me, and my dread of shame among the spirits beneath, whom I seduced with other promises and other vaunts, then to submit, boasting I could subdue the omnipotent.
Indeed, I little know how dearly I abide that boast so vain, and how what torments inwardly I groan. While they adore me on the throne of hell, with diadem and scepter high advanced, the lower still I fall, only supreme in misery. Such joy ambition finds. But say I could repent, and could obtain by act of grace my former state. How soon would height recall high thoughts? How soon unsay what feigned submission swore? Ease would recant vows made in pain as vile and void, for never can true reconcilement grow where wounds of deadly hate have pierced so deep, which would but lead me to a worse relapse and heavier fall. So should I purchase years short and remission forth with double smart. This knows my punisher, therefore as far from granting he, as I from begging peace. All hope excluded thus, behold, instead of us outcast, exiled his new delight, mankind created, and for him this world. So farewell hope, and with hope farewell fear, farewell remorse, all good to me is lost. Evil be thou my good. By thee at least, divided empire with heaven's king I hold, by thee, and more than half perhaps will reign, as man ere long, and this new world shall know. Thus while he spake, each passion dimmed his face, thrice changed with pale ire, envy, and despair, which marred his borrowed visage, and betrayed him counterfeit, if any eye beheld. For heavenly minds from such distempers foul are ever clear, whereof he soon aware, each perturbation smooth without the calm artifice of fall, and was the first that practised falsehood under saintly show, deep malice to conceal, couched with revenge. Yet not enough had practised to deceive Uriel, once warned, whose eye pursued him down the way he went, and on the Assyrian mount saw him disfigured. More than could befall spirit of happy sort, his gestures fierce he marked, and mad demeanor, then alone, as he supposed, all unobserved, unseen. So on he fares, and to the border comes of Eden, where delicious paradise, now nearer, crowns with her enclosure green, as with a rural mound the champaign head of a steep wilderness, whose hairy sides with thicket overgrown, grotesque and wild, access denied. And overhead upgrew insuperable height of loftiest shade, cedar and pine and fir and branching palm, a sylvan scene, and as the ranks ascend shade above shade, a woody theatre of stateliest view. And higher than that wall a circling row of goodliest trees loaded with fairest fruit, blossoms and fruits at once of golden hue appear, with gay enameled colours mixed, on which the sun more glad impressed his beams than in fair evening cloud or humid bow when God hath showered the earth. So lovely seemed that landscape. Now gentle gales, fanning their odoriferous wings, dispense native perfumes, and whisper whence they stole those barley spoils. As when to them who sail beyond the Cape of Hope, and now are past Mozambique, off at sea northeast winds blow Sabaean odors from the spicy shore of Araby the Blessed, with such delay well pleased they slack their course, many a league cheered with a grateful smell, old ocean smiles. So entertained those odorous sweets the fiend who came their bay, though with them better pleased than Asmodeus with a fishy fume, but drove him, though enamored, from the spouse of Tobit's son, and with a vengeance sent from Media post to Egypt there fast bound. Now to the ascent of that steep savage hill Satan had journeyed on, pensive and slow, but further way found none so thick and twined as one continued break the undergrowth of shrubs and tangling bushes had perplexed all part of man or beast that passed it. One gate there only was, and that looked east on the other side, which, when when the arch felon saw due entrance he disdained, and in contempt at one slight bound high overleap all bound of hill or highest wall, and sure within lights on his feet. As with a cowed wolf and hunger drive to seek new haunt for prey, watching where shepherds pen their fox at eve in hurdled coats amid the field secure, leaps o'er the fence with ease into the fold. What is a thief bent to unhaul the cache of some rich burgher, whose substantial doors, cross-barred and bolted fast, fear no assault, in at the window climbs, or o'er the tiles? So clomb this first grand thief into God's fold, so since into his church nude hirelings climb. Thence up he flew, and on the tree of life, the middle tree and highest there that grew, sat like a cormorant, yet not true life thereby regained, but sat devising death to them who lived, nor on the virtue thought of that life-giving plant, but only used for prospect what well used had been the pledge of immortality. So little knows any but God alone to value life the good before him, but perverts best things to worst abuse, or to their meanest use. Beneath him with new wonder how he views, to all delight of human sense exposed, in narrow room, nature's whole wealth, yea more, a heaven on earth, for blissful paradise of God the garden was, by him in the east of Eden flood. Eden stretched her line from Oran eastward to the royal towers of great Seleucia, built by Grecian kings, or where the sons of Eden long before dwelt in Talasa. In this pleasant soil is far more pleasant garden God ordained. Out of that fertile ground he caused to grow all trees of noblest kind for sight, smell, taste. All amid them stood the tree of life, high eminent, blooming ambrosial fruit of vegetable gold. Next to life, our death, the tree of knowledge grew fast by. Knowledge of good bought dear by their good. Southward through Eden went a river large, nor changed his course, but through the shaggy hill passed underneath engulfed. For God had thrown that mountain as his garden mould high raised upon the rapid current, which through veins of porous earth with kindly thirst updrawn, rose a fresh fountain, and with many a rill watered the garden. Thence united fell down the steep glade, and met the nether flood, which from his darksome passage now appears, and now divided into four main streams, runs divers, wandering many a famous realm and country, whereof here needs no account, but rather to tell how, if art could tell, how from that sapphire fount the crisped brooks, rolling on orient pearl and sands of gold, with mazy error under pendant shades ran nectar, visiting each plant, and fed flowers worthy of paradise, which not nice art in beds and curious knots, but nature boon, poured forth profuse on hill and dale and plain, both where the morning sun first warmly smote the open field, and where the unpierced shade imbrowned the noontide bark. Thus was this place, a happy rural seat of various beauty. Groves whose rich trees wept odorous gums and balm, others whose fruit burnished with golden rind, hung painful. Hesperian fables true, if true, here only, and of delicious taste. Betwixt them lawns or level downs, and flocks grazing the tender herb were interposed, or palmy hillock, or the flowery lap of some irriguous valley spread her store. Flowers of all hue, without form the rose. Another side, umbrageous grots and caves of cool recess, o'er which the mantling vine lays forth her purple grape and gently creeps luxuriant. Meanwhile, murmuring waters fall down the sloped hills, dispersed, or in a lake that to the fringed bank with myrtle crowned her crystal mirror holds, unite their streams. The birds their cloud of fire, airs, vernal airs, breathing the smell of field and grove, attune the trembling leaves,
while universal Pan, knit with the graces and the hours in dance, led on the eternal spring. Not that fair field of Enna, where Proserpine, gathering flowers, herself a fairer flower by gloomy Dis was gathered, which cost Ceres all that pain to seek her through the world. Nor that sweet grove of Daphne by Orontes, and the inspired Castalian spring might with this paradise of Eden sky. Nor that Nicaean isle girt with the river Triton, where old Cham, whom Gentile Ammon called and Libyan Jove, hid Amalthea and her florid son, young Bacchus, from his stepdame Rhea's eye. Nor where Abassian kings their issue guard, Mount Amora, though this by some supposed true paradise under the Ethiop line by Nilus' head, enclosed with shining rock a whole day's journey high, but wide remote from this Assyrian garden, where the fiends saw undelighted all delight, all kind of living creatures, new to sight and strange. Two of far nobler ship, erect and tall, godlike erect, with native honor clad in naked majesty, seemed lords of all, and worthy seemed, for in their looks divine the image of their glorious maker. Truth, wisdom, sanctitude severe and pure, severe but in true filial freedom placed, whence true authority in men, though both not equal, as their sex not equal seem. For contemplation he and valor fall, for softness she, sweet objective grace. He for God only, she for God in him. His fair large front and eyes sublime declared absolute rule, a hyacinth in locks round from his parted forelock manly hung clustering, but not beneath his shoulder broad. She is a veil down to the slender waist, her unadorned golden tresses wore disheveled, but in wanton ringlets waved as the vine curls her temples, which implied subjection, but required with gentle sweet. By her yielded, by him best received, yielded with coy submission, modest pride, and sweet reluctant amorous delight. Nor those mysterious parts were then concealed. Then was not guilty shame, dishonest shame of nature's works. Honor dishonorable, sin-bred, how have ye troubled all mankind with shows instead, mere shows of seeming pure, and banished from man's life his happiest life, simplicity and spotless innocence. So cast they naked on, nor shunned the sight of God or him, for they thought no ill. So hand in hand they passed, the loveliest pair that ever since in love's embraces met. Adam, the goodliest man of men since born his sons, the fairest of their daughters. Under a tuft of shade that on a green stood whispering soft, by a fresh fountain side they sat them down. And after no more toil of their sweet gardening labor than sufficed to recommend cool zephyr, and made ease more easy, wholesome thirst and appetite more grateful, to their supper fruits they fell, nectarine fruits which the compliant boughs yielded them, sidelong they set the climb on the soft, downy back damask flowers. The savory pulp they chewed, and in the rind, still as they thirsted, scooped the brimming stream. Nor gentle purpose, nor endearing smiles wanted, nor youthful dalliance, as beseems fair couple, linked in happy nuptial deed, alone is there. About them, frisking played all beasts of the earth, since wild, and of all chase in wood or wilderness, forest or den, sporting the lion ramped, and in his paw dangled the kid. Bears, tigers, ounces, paws gambled before them. The unwieldy elephant, to make them mirth, used all his might and wreathed his lithe proboscis. Close the serpent's sly, and
wove his warning twine of fretted chain, and of his fatal guile gave proof unheeded. Others on the grass couched, now filled with pasture, gazing sat, or bedward looked. For the sun declined, was hasting now with prone career to the ocean isles. In the ascending scale of heaven, the stars that usher evening rose. When sick, still in gaze, as first he stood, scarce thus at length, failed speech, recovered sad.